Psalm 146, 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes or presidents, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. The very day their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose hope and help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that we can come right now to the everlasting God, the God who is forever, and that we can forever put our trust in you, for we have found you to be faithful. You've always been faithful. And help us be reminded of that now. And we pray and thank you for your word that you have faithfully given to us so we can know who you are and we can know who we were made to be and find our fullness in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to share a true story. This comes out of Tennessee, Roan Mountain, Tennessee, near the border of Tennessee and North Carolina. And So what's going on, there's a youth minister. It's his first paid ministry job, first paid youth ministry gig. And then also his very first camping trip with his youth group. And also very first experience using what would be known as often known as a youth pastor's most effective tool, the church van. Which could be a vehicle of mass salvation, truly, which elicits deeper relationships and maybe goes to a conference or someone that comes to know the Lord. The church van, it can be a vehicle of salvation, but also a vehicle of destruction, potential destruction, weapon of mass salvation or weapon of mass destruction. Now this guy, he was a rookie and embarking on unknown territory. And not just because, you know, this is his first job as a youth pastor, but also he's going into unknown geographical territory in a mountainous area, Roan Mountain. Beautiful, but dangerous. If you need to add any more to this recipe of disaster for disaster, what's going on is one of the girls in the youth group is graduating, so a lot of the kids wanted to go see her at her commencements that Friday night, after we had already gotten to the campsite. And so the pastor, right, the youth pastor, he says, well, yeah, like any good youth pastor, yeah, you want to go support your fellow youth group attendant, I guess you might say, especially since she's singing a song, a special song, yeah, let's go. All right, so no problems on the way there at all. But on the way back, there was no light. It was dark out. And, of course, me as a youth pastor there, going to unfamiliar territory with about, I don't know, 10 distractions in the back of the van, you might... eventually became bottles of wine, you know, whining about 10 bottles of wine, whining about this, whining about why are we here, where are we going, right? It wasn't just the whining that caused me to realize we might be a little bit lost, that I missed the sign to the campsite at night, right? It wasn't just that sign, you know, it wasn't that the whining that helped me realize that, but it was this sign right here. That I knew for sure we might be a little bit lost. We went to North Carolina. We crossed the state line there. And so, of course, junior high girls did what they did, right? They screamed in fear. Junior high boys did what they did. They screamed with excitement. All because we were placed I think I was probably whining a little bit myself, too. But all because we were placed in a place where we could doubt God in a place of unfamiliarity. You know, how often do we start to complain a little bit or have some doubts because God puts us through a test a place of where we're not familiar with. We like our familiar things, right? But God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to sit back and stay comfortable. He wants us to grow. And so I share that today because, I mean, we are certainly in unprecedented times. We're facing things right now we have never faced before. And I think we could be tempted to say, is God really in control? And start to doubt him, or maybe start to be more easily angered, but also easy to complain more. So maybe complain and doubt God's love, doubt his power, doubt his wisdom. You know, we may disagree of why such things are happening with riots and pandemic, but we would all agree that we didn't expect it. And we haven't faced this before. But we can rest and trust in him, even though we might start to doubt a little bit. Now, ever had a time where, you know, God, maybe he actually ordained a time where you couldn't receive any earthly help in a situation so that you would grow in it and find out that he was all you needed? I've shared this quote before from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, you may never know Jesus is all you need till what? Jesus is all you have. Maybe that's why in our text today it says, do not put your trust in princes or human beings. Because why? They're going to die. They'll die, and so will their plans with them and their power. But put your hope in the everlasting God, in the God of Jacob, the one who does not change and who is forever, who is everlasting, eternal. Maybe that's why Jesus also said when he sent his disciples out on a mission, he says, just take this one thing with you. You know what that was? Nothing. Take nothing with you on the trip so they can realize that Jesus is all you need. He's with you. He knows what you need before we even do. He knows what we need. I had a time where during my conversion experience, when my life was threatened, you know, I was scared. I tried to call my best friend on my cell phone in a panic, and he didn't answer. The one time he didn't answer the phone, he didn't answer it. And then also at the same time, my parents were on vacation, you know. And so, really, Jesus was all I had. And he proved to be, he was all I needed, even more than I needed. Remember the Israelites, when they were going, God just freed them from the land of slavery, not the land to go into the land of promise, but first they were in the land of slavery. God delivered them out with great miracles, the 10 plagues, and then finally at the Red Sea. They see God do great things to get them there, and then all of a sudden they, between a rock and a hard place, and their place of uncertainty, they complain. They say, Moses, would you just lead us here to die, right? We could have died. We could have been better off in Egypt, right? But they started to complain. They were vulnerable, and they're in a place of uncertainty. But God planned that. He planned that so they can learn that he was all they needed. That God was all they needed. They complained like junior high students in the back of a van that just went into North Carolina. See, at the Red Sea, God ordained that uncertainty so they can be prepared for the promised land. Learn how not to trust in their past, but to trust in God no matter what comes down their path. And then there was more tests in the wilderness after God delivered them at the Red Sea from the biggest army of the time. Whenever they ran out of food, they complained, right? When they ran out of water, they went to their default setting and complained. And like I said, it was so they weren't there to God so they would die. They said, would you just lead us here to die? But really, I think God was thinking to himself, no, I led you here to find life. Finding life by trusting me in faith was something totally new. Doesn't that happen to us, though, sometimes? You know, well, we look back in our past, we were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to sin. It wasn't Pharaoh that called the shots for us, but it was sin. We were a slave to sin, and then God set us free. Kind of like at the Red Sea, he set us free from that terrible master. And then we got a new master who is God. And things are different with him. We have to move, not walk by sight, right? We walk by faith. We walk by faith. But then after being delivered, we often, God takes us to a test. And we start to complain a little bit. We may have shouted on Sunday, but we start complaining on Monday when we face that person at work or that situation or whatever we're facing. We're tempted to complain. See, like I've said before, when we go through a test, the first four letters of testimony are what? Test, right? You can't have a testimony, right, without a test. You need a test first. And I know, David wrote before in the Psalms, like, with my God, I can overcome I can scale any wall. I can overcome a whole army. But what do you need first to do that? You need a wall. And you need an army, right? To show that God can come through, that he's all that we need. Well, Psalm 146 that we read, I think it kind of helps to prevent from complaining a little bit. It starts out, just gives us instructions here. Actually, it's not instructions. This is a command. This is an imperative, all right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, if you want to say it. Praise the Lord, that's in the prayer, that's the command. That's not like, maybe I'll praise the Lord. But no, praise the Lord, God says. Be reminded of who he is and what he can do. When we do that, when we lift him up in praise, and we praise him in truth for who he is, we are reminded that who he is and what he can do in my current circumstance. And so when we are facing that circumstance, that's when we need to praise the most. Not after the miracle, right? But before it. So that we can honor him through the test and be reminded that he's all that we need. So that leads us to point number one for today. Praising God helps us turn our test into our testimony. While I was studying for this message, I found out this psalm was written in a not such an easy time for God's people. The last five psalms, you know when they were written in Israel's history? During the exile. Not an easy time. Getting taken from all that you knew. Everything you knew. Your church life, right? Your friends. Your house. Your Netflix. Your streaming devices. Everything that you knew. Get removed and put all the way over here. They got put into Babylon. A place of unknown territory. And, of course, they needed something to hang on to, right? They needed to be reminded of who God was and what he has done. So we read here, it starts out, praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. This is written in a time of captivity for God's people. Now, of course, it was their fault that they're there, right? But still, God doesn't give up on us, does he? He remains faithful to us, even when we were faithless, right? Or unfaithful. So this psalm helped them to praise him through the night as God's people got known for in that time, a God who can actually have you praise through the night. And by the way, I mean, Babylon, just, like I said, didn't just conquer them, but just remember this. Just really put yourself in this situation. Let's say if Iraq came, right, and took your family into their territory. What would that feel like? How hard would it be to worship God then, right? But while we're going through the test, to be keeping our eyes on him, praising him for who he is. And that's what these guys did. That's what helped them get through the night. Because they praised the Lord. They followed that command. And it starts out, I will praise the Lord when times are good, huh? I will praise the Lord all my life, because he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if praise is based on who he is, I should be praising him all the time, right? He's the God who never changes. Even though we may change, right, and our faith may fail at times, he remains faithful. Well, before we do that, before we do praise him through the night or through the test, we need to know how to use the praise, right? We need to know how to praise him and how to use it. My first year here at the church in Woodland Hills, 2012, you know, I had my laptop and I had little issues with it because I couldn't connect to the internet with a hardwire. I just had the hardest time, so I had to pretty much more or less move my office closer to the router, you know, to the Wi-Fi router to get online. I'm just doing all my work, maybe in the youth room or wherever, to get connection. And then after a couple months of doing that, I noticed a little icon on my laptop, on the bottom corner of my laptop, my screen, for Ethernet connection. And I realized it was disabled. I could have had access the whole time. It was available, but I wasn't using it. And I think we do that often with praise. Praising God is a tool that is available to us to keep the faith no matter what we face, but oftentimes we don't use it. We're afraid of being known as some weird Christian or one of those trail mix Christians where all the fruits and nuts hang out, right? It's not true. If we're people of God, we're people of praise. We need to learn how to praise him and to use it. It's available to us. Praise him all our lives. And not just on Sunday morning, right? We were discussing at our elders meeting, you know, Tozer said, if you're not praising God Monday through Saturday, right, you're not going to praise him right on Sunday, right? We need to praise him all the time. And praise that focuses on who he is, like focuses on his attributes, like he's the creator, he's the sustainer. He is faithful, even when we're unfaithful. He is the way maker, gracious, all-powerful, loving, and just. When we praise him, it's kind of like just taking his resume and looking at his resume of what he can do and who he is and what he has done. It's kind of like if you would just ask Daniel, right? Daniel, what did God do for you when you were in the lion's den? Well, I realized the Lion of Judah was with me, and he shut the lion's mouths. Sort of like maybe asking his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? When you're placing the fiery furnace, what did God do for you? Well, he just brought us out. Didn't even smell like smoke. Or Jesus, whenever they placed you in the grave, what did he do? He brought me out. I was raised from the dead to lead others to newness of life. Or maybe Paul, when they were stoning you, beating you, imprisoning you, what did God do for you? Well, he taught me to be content in every situation and to rejoice in the Lord always. When we praise him, we get reminded of who he is and what he has done and what he can do. And that will help us to continue to not walk by sight, but by faith. We end up becoming like Peter, who stepped out of the boat, right? Stepped out of the boat because we're putting our eyes on Jesus and able to walk on water. And we know once he took his eyes off Jesus and who he was, he started to sink. When we praise God, we focus and put our eyes on him, and we can go where he's leading us by faith and see miracles happen, see people come to the Lord, and see him taking my trial and turning it into my testimony. So we lift him up, and in a way we are lifted up as we are encouraged and reminded of who he is because of his attributes that never change. Point number two, in order to praise God and put our hope in him, we must first understand he is actually available even to imperfect people like us. See, the devil, he will do his very best from keeping you from praising God. He wants to beat us down with accusation. He wants to remind us of how imperfect we are. He wants to say, you know, God's not going to come through for you. Look what you just did. Look at what you're doing. God can't come through for you, but as we praise him, we find the power in praise. We're reminded it's not about my perfection, but it's about my perfect God who is faithful. And the devil knows the power of praise. He's considered to be one of the chief worship leaders in heaven. That's why he has such a good picture of God. He was right up there front stage. That's why he got tempted to want to be the one getting the worship. But he knows the power of praise, and he'll do everything he can to disable our praise. Not just our internet connection, but he wants to disable that tool that we have to praise God because it's going to rest on who God is, not who we are. Anytime we're facing accusation, don't say what I've done. Oh, but I've done this. And then the devil will come back and say, well, you've also done this, this, and this, right? We need to have our praise focused on him so that we can remember that it's not about me, it's about God. Even though I'm imperfect, praise helps me to live up to that righteous living that God's calling me to. That's why it says in verse 5, blessed are those that put their hope not in just God. Specific here, it says, but the God of who? Jacob. The God of Jacob. Now, who was Jacob? Now, we know it was Isaac's son, Esau's brother, and the one that deceived his father to get Esau's birthright. Deceiver, right? And he often struggled with his identity of who he was and who God has called him to be. He was unstable, and of all the patriarchs, the most unstable and imperfect. And so God, we often see in his word, he's referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Could have easily been here in that psalm, but no. Right here in the exile, during the exile, well, this is written, and being reminded, oh yeah, we've made a big mess. We got ourselves in a big mess, but the God of Jacob can get us out of the mess. He did it for Jacob. He can do it for us. He's the God of Jacob, the God who turns our messes into beauty. He can turn our lives and the messes we've made into something beautiful. The God of our future and a hope, and the God who can get us through the night. Not based on what we have done, but who he is, right? So we can put our hope in the God of Jacob. And as we continue praising him, that God, and we focus on him, funny thing happens is my life starts to get cleaned up a little bit, and his holiness starts to rub off a little bit as I see him and a reminder of who he is and a reminder of the future he has for me. Well, that brings us to our final, third and final point. Praise brings deliverance. Deliverance through contrast and helps us be who God created us to be. Now, in this lifetime, we often need delivered from many things, whether it's spiritual attack, sickness, as we see many of us are facing sickness. Maybe we need delivered from doubt of who God is and what he can do, delivered from depression, delivered from poverty. Whatever problems, we have many problems that we face in this life. But as we praise God, that brings deliverance. It's not like a magic rabbit foot. But no, it helps us to stay faithful to God through the difficulty. You know, God may wipe it away. He might just take it away. He's done that plenty of times. But he also might want to teach us that his grace is sufficient. And that we can, even if he doesn't deliver us from the lion's den, that we're still going to praise him. Or from the fiery furnace, we're still going to praise him. For he is good. But the one thing we all need deliverance from is ourselves. We need delivered mostly from ourselves, from our own sin. Because that's the biggest problem we face in life, is our own sin that's in our hearts. We need to be delivered from all the consequences that it brings and all the pain it brings into others' lives as well. And it's not something attacking us from the outside. We always want to focus on the outside, don't we? But from within, praise helps us to be delivered from our own sin that leads to death. Doesn't lead to anything good. And before we can know what a problem is, before we can fix a problem, we got to know what it is, right? And when we, and like Isaiah in Isaiah 6, as we see God in his splendor, as we praise him for who he is, we see where we fall short. Not God trying to shame us, but trying to lead us to better everlasting life, abundant life. I love that story in Isaiah 6. I mean, he's in the temple, you know. He's going to the temple and he has a surprise visit from God himself in the temple with seraphims worshiping, surrounding him. And he sees God in his perfection, and what does he say? God didn't have to say anything, but what does Isaiah say? Woe is me. I'm messed up. I've got issues. He says, man, I'm messed up. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. But the funny thing is, God did not have to say a thing to him. He did not have to tell him he was a sinner. He just saw God's beauty, his holiness, his perfection, and he realized that he was, you know, God was the straight stick, and he saw how crooked he was. But he didn't say, oh, I can't do anything for God now. After seeing his perfection, what did he do? And when God says, well, who are we going to send? What does he say? Send me. Send me. He wasn't discouraged and beat down. He saw the holiness and perfection of God, and he was lifted up. He saw God for who he really was. And when we praise him, that lifts us up. When we see him for who he really is, such a gracious, patient God, but a powerful God who doesn't rely on us, on our perfection, which is not. We're imperfect. But a God who is faithful, even when we are unfaithful, that we can see who he really is, and the God who delivers us out of every trial, through every trial. We see what he did for everybody else, and we're reminded of who he is as we praise him as the God of the universe, the Lord of heaven. We are reminded that he can give us what we need, and he'll lift us up in our spirits, but also in righteous living as we see his perfection, and we want to be like it. We want to emulate it, and his holiness rubs off on us. This funny thing happens when I thank God for him being so merciful, when I thank him for being so gracious, I end up being a little more merciful and gracious myself. After I see how he's forgiven me of so much, I'm more easily able to forgive somebody else that has hurt me and use it for a testimony and use it for a way of showing people who God is. Not to get revenge, but to show people God's grace that has been given to me. So as we close here, may we be reminded as we praise the God of eternity, the God who doesn't need to change and will never change because he is perfect, and he is, as John said, love. Therefore, we should be a people of love, right? As we praise him for who he is, may we be transformed to live up as he has called us to. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you for the tool of praise, and we may not know all the perfect words to use in praise, but as we do praise you, and with the words that we do know how to use, you do lift us up in our spirits, in our living. And God, we pray, God, that we can humbly follow you and lead others to see you as we look closely at you in praise. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.